my listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 16th, 2014. Joining me in the studio on this lovely Friday is co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel, co-host on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. And for the past 40 weeks, this is our 40th edition of the study of Acts. And last week, I had to figure it out. It took me a while to figure out how to do 39 in Roman letters. Do you know how, you know?
Can't you just do it in regular letters
well,
now?
You know, I've been doing the Roman
letters. At some
letters.
Point, you're going to have a lot of problems.
Well, I know. But this is now four X's, and I kind of laugh, tongue-in-cheek, and the irony of it.
Three X?
Well, the three X because of some of our conversation with some of the news with the football player and some of the other things. And I just got kind of laughed in light of our conversation. But this edition is the four X edition, the study of the book of Acts. It will be in chapter 8, and the irony, we'll be talking about the eunuch. So, some adult material here. Anyways, I just kind of thought the irony of 4X. Yeah, I know. I should have gone here, but I think maybe that God, with seemingly a divine sense of humor, has nothing to do with this, but I think it's kind of funny how we're...
God has a huge sense of humor,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, but I won't attribute any of this to him, but...
He's in a ditch right now. Yeah, somebody help him.
Right. And you,
throw him a tow cable or something.
We were talking about getting into the ditch and trying to just move on, but I couldn't help myself. So, but let me make an announcement before we can transition into this great study of the book of Acts. And I love that concept. The things that you mentioned about this book being descriptive and not prescriptive, and how we got to be very mindful of that. And also with much of Scripture, when we see something, we don't lift it out of context or we start building a whole case over one verse when there's clearly other teaching throughout the Scriptures. But this book of Acts, hopefully, as you've joined us many weeks, are really growing and learning and seeing how God's at work and how the characters, the apostles, the disciples, the different people are reacting and responding to the good news message of Jesus and what it compels them to do to move on, to preach throughout the world. And today you're going to hear a unique example of somebody that was trying to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ, but didn't have all the information. And so thank you, God, for Philip being on the scene and how he used circumstances to help this individual know the living God. And that would be our prayer for each and every one of you today as you tune in. Maybe something that's shared during this edition of Mark and Friends or throughout the day will be a catalyst to have you dig into the Scriptures, read it for yourself, pray to God, examine maybe what's shared and said over the air, hold it up to Scripture, discuss it with other friends, and then hopefully through that process you'll be drawn closer to God and blessed or informed or convicted of something that'll help you with your testimony to the hurting world. So we'll get to the book of Acts in just a second, but I want to point out something for a friend, a couple friends over in Danville. They oversee and are involved in Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage. I've been there a number of times. In fact, they used to have our Great News Radio signs available for our listeners. I think we ran out and we don't have any signs there any longer, but a good staff there. In fact, one of the employees, Myrna, was on a trip to Israel a few years back, and she called me yesterday and said, "Mark, we're having a bake sale this Saturday, May 17th, and I think we're going to have a lot of food for people, but we need customers to come in and purchase some of these bake sales because they're trying to raise some funds." There used to be four Christian bookstores in Danville, and the three others have folded up and closed many years ago, and this is the last one, Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage, that survived, and really, they need their customer count up, they need sales, and I know all about that. You and I have both worked retail. And so they're trying to do some creative things. They're going to have this big bake sale this Saturday. It's going to run from 9 to 5:30 p.m. And the Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage is located at 717 North Gilbert Street in Danville. Also, they started something recently where people were bringing in lightly used Christian materials and books, and they're reselling them. And so if you need to purchase some Christian materials or books or CDs, stop by the Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage this Saturday between the hours of 9 to 5:30 p.m. as they're having a special bake sale, and then you can peruse all the different things they have and say hi to Myrna. She's a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she asked me if we could alert our listeners that they're kind of struggling and they could certainly use your help. And if you can stop by on Saturday and maybe purchase some baked goods and some other Christian materials, that's at the Five Loaves, Two Fish Book Cottage in Danville, 717 North Gilbert Street in Danville. So Oh, yeah. You and I both worked retail. We know the importance of customer count and getting people in the store. So those were the days, weren't they?
Those were the days.
Those were the days. I don't think back to them very
often. I'm glad those were the days.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, what was happening in the days about 2,000 years ago is the church is being birthed and the Lord is showing up in kind of unique ways and orchestrating, or what you would say is God's providence. He's behind the scenes working, putting people together, orchestrating timetables, and we have a unique one with Philip showing up and meeting up with an Ethiopian who happens to have the scriptures. I think he's reading, I didn't read ahead, but I think he's reading through Isaiah and he's trying to understand some things, and probably there was a moving in his heart towards spiritual things and probably some background. Do they attribute some of this, that Queen of Ethiopia, I feel the Queen of the South or something, who met with Solomon years ago? Have you ever heard those rumors that he could have impregnated her? Keep it with our 4X topic
today.
That's
the Queen of Sheba.
Okay,
so,
yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I don't think there's a connection for that other than the Queen of the South, and so he comes from roughly that area.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a great passage because what chapter 8 does is it gives us two sides of a coin to understand. I mean, we start out with persecution and the church is scattered. And in scattering, the gospel blows up and it begins. People get saved. And Philip goes up into Samaria. You remember Jews didn't go to Samaria. But Philip goes up to Samaria because God tells him to do it. So what the lesson, go to hard places when God tells you to go there because there's fruit there. But he meets this guy named Simon, who's a magician, and Simon's a bit sketchy. And so Peter and John come down, and they offer some authority and some wisdom in this. They encourage Philip's ministry, but also really bring some oversight to this. We all should have authority in our life and love that authority because it helps us to discern. Philip wasn't sinful. Philip wasn't fallen. Philip was just young in ministry, and he was trying to figure out what it means to be in ministry. And, you know, this Simon probably looked like a pretty zealous and good believer, though he had some issues. And when authority came on the scene, then they were uncovered when he said he tried to buy his faith. So we have somebody who is struggling in their faith, who is borderline kind of faithless. And then now we go to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which now we are going to see the other side of the coin, which is the faithful. None of the problems. And interesting, too, is that Philip is the central character here. Philip is the central evangelist. So Philip is the one who is being able to see both sides of these coins. So for those who are in ministry, the real overarching kind of message here is that you'll have days when it's sketchy and hard and horrible, and then you'll have days where, like we're going to read today, where it's amazing and you just know that God's all there in it, every bit of it. And so it's great. So it says, beginning in verse 26, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This for me has always been an interesting little transition between verse 25 and 26, because I have to think that on the latter half of the first part of chapter 8, Philip was feeling maybe a little bit like he maybe messed up. There was probably maybe, and I'm reading into the text, but maybe some condemnation. I mean, he had thought this guy Simon was the deal. He thought he was a believer, and he baptized him, and he thought it was great. And John and Peter came down and exposed Simon's heart. And so maybe Philip was kind of going, oh, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I'm not, you know, and the text doesn't tell us that. I'm just injecting some of that in there. But what I love is that the Lord encourages him here. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go towards the south. So the Lord's like, Philip, it's okay. It was a tough day in ministry, wasn't it, brother? But I'm using you.
Hey, and step back to verse 25, because I kind of just glanced back at it. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages.
Yeah.
So they kind of caught the vision, whether it was from Philip or the Lord just led them back to many Samaritan villages where they may have discarded or just walked through.
Sure. I think on the way through, maybe they, although I don't know, I think it was Peter and John were just preaching the gospel everywhere they went. I think that was just like kind of in their DNA. But I love that God's not done with Philip here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it says, and he rose. So right away, and the Bible's really clear. Look at, so the angel of the Lord comes down and says, rise and go to the south. Then the Bible tells us this is a desert place. So waterless, barren, not good. The idea of the desert place is that it's barren. So right away, there's every reason for Philip to go, I don't know about that. I mean, can we go to the, you know, like En Gedi? Can we go to the tropical place? Can we go to the warm place, but with the little drinks with the umbrellas in them? Can we do that? No, it was a desert place. But he says, because he's obedient, and he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Let's pray and ask the Lord what he might reveal to us as doing this. God, it says in the scripture here that this Ethiopian was in charge of the treasure of the queen. And yet, as you're going to unfold this scripture, he is going to see that you are his greatest treasure. It's going to be revealed to him the greatest treasure ever, and that in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray that as we look at this scripture, that it might appeal in us a yearning deep down from inside of us, that we would see you as our treasure. That we would see that we are entrusted with the greatest treasure ever, and that treasure is our faith in you. And so I pray that it would cause us to live differently. I pray that through this eunuch who we won't even know his name, yet we'll know who he is. And Lord, I thank you too that some of these people in the Bible don't have a name because they seem an awful lot like us sometimes. So might we stamp our name on that and be able to say, boy, I'm like the eunuch sometimes. And so I just thank you, praise you, and lift your name up right now and ask you to do what only you can do right now, which is reveal to us truth that's been there all along, but that we have missed because of our blindness and hard-heartedness. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So he comes up and he sees this eunuch in there, and this eunuch is a prominent eunuch. Now, eunuchs were men who were essentially fixed, and the idea was that then there would be no way that they could possibly be corrupted within the queen's court or within the king's court, because one of the greatest way, let's just be honest, the easiest way to corrupt a man is through a woman, okay? Money or sex, to one of the two most powerful idols that are out there. And so one of the things that would happen with a eunuch is that he would be essentially in the one area uncorruptible. And so that's the easiest way. I know this is the 4X show, but I'm keeping it light. I'm keeping it family friendly. Maybe the kids are within earshot, so we're going to be careful there. But he was a court official of Candace, the queen of all the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasure. So she trusted him with his treasure. This is a man of high character and of high integrity. Now, it says that he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. So right away we say, well, is he a Jew? Well, what had happened was that there was these kingdoms were touching each other, the kingdom of the Ethiopians to the south of Israel and those. And what would happen is they would share some of the cultural things that were happening, and they would go and they would worship together or go and stand in the midst of this simply to honor each other. So we don't know if this Ethiopian is honoring or if this Ethiopian is a true devout Jewish follower. That we're not really quite sure. What we do know is that he has a Bible or he has a scroll. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And what's interesting about him reading that is that he doesn't know what it means. He doesn't know what it means, which tells me that I think he's a younger believer. I think he's not somebody who really is quite sure what all this means. He hasn't been following this for a long time and has a real good idea. But it says he was seated in his chariot and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. I love that because I don't know how many times I've been places where the Spirit has said, go over there. And so I know what this looks like. It said Philip ran to him. How many of us we hear the Spirit say, go over there, and we don't run? we go, are you sure? You know, we get ourselves kind of wrapped up in ourselves and we don't get ourselves obedient to what God tells us to do.
In fact, many times we might say, oh, that couldn't be from God, and we go the opposite direction.
Right, right. See, well, God knows I'm not gifted in this evangelism, so why would he ask me to do that? That must be the devil because he wants to make me look stupid.
Yeah.
The devil, look, somebody, I don't say this because I just made it up and I'm like, wow, that was really great. I say that because somebody has said that to me before, and I said, I just want you to understand that even in your flawed gospel presentation, the devil would never ask you to go and share the gospel.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to do that. That would just be silliness. So he ran over there, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? So right away, he doesn't say, hey, I see you're reading that. Hey, brother. He goes, do you understand that? And the eunuch says, how can I unless somebody guides me? What a great conversation. Do you understand what you're reading? I wonder if when we came across our Christian brothers and sisters, if that might be one of our questions. Do you understand that? How are you doing in your walk, in your faith walk? How are you doing as you're moving towards the Lord? That's a very revealing type of a question, because I'm going to tell you what, when you get around the table, we do a thing in our home called community groups. These are groups from our church that meet around town in people's homes. Mm-hmm. And the idea is where we can do life together, number one. But number two, where we can have a time where people can ask questions that they can't possibly ask during church. They can't raise their hand in the middle of a sermon and say, can you help me with that? But what we find as we walk along in these community groups is that people don't understand. They get done on a Sunday morning and they have a lot of questions, which I think is a good marker for a Sunday morning. We should leave with questions, questions that only God can answer, questions that we need to answer in community. But the idea is that we should ask our brothers and sisters, do you understand? Because sometimes they don't, and that's a great inroads for us to begin discipleship. And so he says, how can I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So what a great exchange. Do you understand it? No, I really don't. I wish somebody would help me. Can I come up in the chariot with you? Yeah, come on up in the chariot with me.
And what do you think it means? He heard the man reading. So is he sitting in this chariot, like there's this caravan, maybe they stopped or maybe they're moving along and Philip runs up to him, but he's reading it out loud? What do you think? What's the picture?
Yeah, I think he's probably just reading it. I mean, I don't want to read too much into that. I think he heard him reading it. Probably there is maybe a sense there of he heard the genuineness of his reading it. I mean, there's a difference between reading Scripture and reading Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was just really reading it. And the passage of Scripture he was reading was this. It's Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. He says, like a sheep was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opens his mouth, and his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who could describe this generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. It's interesting, it's that passage, because the context, this passage that they share in Acts has no context. So if you had the context of Isaiah 53, you would see, prior to that, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. By his wounds we are healed. He was crushed for our iniquities. I mean, if you have the context of 53, it's built around understanding something. But what this limited bit here that he gets, that Philip probably heard him saying, was something just kind of out where you were like, well, what's that about? And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? What a great question, mm-hmm. because it immediately opens the door. Who is this person? Who is this scripture about? First and foremost, always about God, because God illuminated that scripture. It's truth. He illuminated it to tell us. But the Ethiopian eunuch is wrestling between the divine and his humanity. I mean, is the Bible about me, or is the Bible ultimately always about God? The Bible is ultimately always about God, and then God's relationship to me. But we have to start with God, because if we start with me, it's a flawed place to begin. And so the eunuch's question is this about someone like me, or is this about someone totally unlike me? It opens the door for Philip to be able to say, it's about somebody who you need to meet. And Philip opened his mouth, but I don't think they were his words that mm-hmm. came out. And beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And they came, and as they came and were going along the road, they came up to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water. And Philip said to the eunuch, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Listen to this fascinating scripture. The eunuch begins to hear the gospel, and immediately as he hears the gospel, what does he want to do? He wants to get in some water. Mm-hmm. He sees the water, and he says, can I get in there? That's the zeal that's produced when you understand who saved you, when you understand how you were bought and purchased, when you understand the gospel, when you get underneath there. Sometimes I think we talk so much about discipleship, and what we need to talk about is Christ. Again, we read the Bible, and the Bible suddenly, the book of Acts suddenly becomes about us, discipleship and the church and growth of the church and these things. No, the book of Acts is about God and his sovereign plan and his sovereign might and his glory. That's what it's about. That's where you start, because when you start with the glory of God, you cannot help but understand what God's doing in relation to God. Not what God's doing in relation to us, but what God is doing in relation to God and his plan and the furtherance of his gospel. So as Philip lays this out, this is what is impressed upon the Ethiopian, that it's not about him. It's no longer about the Ethiopian. No longer. He knows this is about this divine person that the prophet spoke about, whose name was Jesus Christ, who came and through his blood shed on the cross, bought and purchased our eternity. He made a way for us out of sin and death, that our sins past, present, and future would no longer bind and hold us, but instead he would free us as he promised. I came to set the captives free. For freedom you have been set free. And so it's an amazing moment, and because of that, it produces inside of this Ethiopian eunuch a zeal to get in the water. Look at, the water is not what saves us. The water is simply a proclamation of the gospel. It's simply a proclamation in public to the gospel. But when you hear the gospel, when you know the gospel, when the gospel gets down deep in there and destroys kind of all of it's about me and creates in you this idea, it's all about God. You can't help but get in the water, because when you get in the water, you glorify God. When you come out of that water, you glorify God in the sight of his people. And the eunuch wants nothing more than to do that. But it said when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Philip was like gone. This is one of those things where we can't wrap our head around, and let's not try and describe it, understand it, or anything. He was gone. And the eunuch saw him no more. But look at this. The eunuch didn't go, I was saved. Where's Philip? Does anybody know where Philip is? I can't stop thinking about what happened to Philip. He doesn't say any of that. What does he do? He just continues to rejoice in the Lord. He went on his way rejoicing. What the Bible doesn't tell us, which I really want to know, is from that point on how many people got saved by this eunuch who was zealous for the Lord, who was rejoicing in the Lord. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. How could he not? How could he not come across this eunuch inside this chariot, help him through the book of Isaiah, preach the gospel? This eunuch blows up and got to get in the water. All of a sudden, Philip is gone. And now wherever he goes, he can't help but preach the gospel. Why? Because you know what? When you know without a doubt who Jesus is, when you know without a doubt how you've been bought and purchased, what was done for you on the cross, you can't help but preach the gospel. Mm. You can't help. When the Bible says Christ compels me, what compels you in Christ? The gospel. The work that was done on the cross. You could almost say the cross compels me, the work done on the cross and the resurrection. It's an amazing moment. Philip, what a great picture for us of a guy who had a really bad day. And then the Lord called him back and said, come on, man, get up. I got a great day today. And boom, he goes, look at, the Lord was glorified in the bad day. The Lord was glorified in the good day. And Philip continued to preach the gospel. And that's the message for us, that we can glorify the Lord in our worst day. We can glorify the Lord in our best day. And our job is simply to continue to preach the gospel.
And that preaching the gospel can take many forms. It might just be sharing your testimony, the transformational work that God has done in your life. It doesn't need to be a three-part sermon series that you give to those employees at work. It might be saying, you know what, this is what Jesus did for me. That simply.
Yeah, there was somebody at our men's breakfast that you were at that said, I have this friend at work who's not a believer, and I've been sharing the gospel with him, but he's real hesitant because he's not a believer and he knows how bad church has been over time. But he said his mother passed away, and I took the day off and went to his mother's funeral with him. And he said he couldn't understand why I did that, but now he wants to hear more about the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the testimony right there. Preach the gospel in so many different ways by getting outside of yourself and seeing what matters most, which is Christ.
And allowing the love of Christ to work in and through you. Yep, through caring, through sharing.
Look, if you preach the gospel and you're not loving, people are going to go, I don't know, I want that Jesus. He seems kind of angry and mad.
And those fruit of the spirits we've talked about.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, thank you, listener, for being a part of this, the 40th edition of our recorded conversations over the book of Acts. They're all archived at greatnewsradio.org. So if you missed one or two.
60 total.
Oh, at least. I'm scheduling through 2017, I think.
I think we should do 100 just for the heck of it.
Yes.
And we could be like the 100th show.
Yes. Well, there will be many opportunities for you to join in, and we hope that you can join us on Fridays or throughout the week. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.